We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mornings on the Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're back here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. There's that face. There's the face. He's giving the face too.
Oh,
I made
man.
Bo mad during the break.
There's a.
You didn't make me mad. I don't understand.
I had a little outburst. No. Me? No. Never.
Bo, I've realized if Bo has a couple tells when he is not in in happy order, it's he gives a palms up like this, and he
is that
and
a
he,
peace offering?
And he tucks his lips though. It's like this. It's like a. You know what I mean?
He purses them.
Yeah, yeah. He purses his lips and he kind of gives.
Are you covering your hat?
But then he moves his.
Come on.
See, if he moves his head back on his shoulders like this and he purses his lips.
Fire back, leader of Squid Nation.
Here it goes, right here. Ready?
I need more from you.
That's not mad. That's like, I don't understand what you want from me.
He slides his head backwards on his shoulders.
It is the I don't understand, but it's like, I'm irritated.
Well, I'm irritated because when I get accused of stuff, I'm like, what? Like, what did I do? And we are the nation.
I do need to clarify something. My wife is in flames in my text messages right now. She's mad at me because she thinks, so she went to prom last weekend. We've covered that. She thinks that the girls, the groups she, you know, had to chaperone prom with are going to think I'm talking about them
so
as far as splitting
the check. So, quick recap. I talked about having to split the bill last night when I went to dinner, and I got cheated.
Yeah. Okay. And I told you a story of when she went to dinner with her friends, how she got left out to dry, or a couple of friends, and now she's like, they're gonna think I'm talking about them from last weekend. I'm not. I'm not talking about anybody she's hung out with in the last 6 months. All right, that's just not a thing. So if you are happen to be one of those people, promise I'm not talking about you. It's a long time ago, the story I'm talking about, where she just got left out to dry, and it stinks when it happens, and it happened to you yesterday.
And you guys are better people than me because I'm calling out people that I went to dinner with last night. So they all know who they are. Only one of them listens to the show. He may not even be up this early because he's actually a good friend. But even though I probably pay
because he listens to the show?
Yeah.
At least, like, if
is
we're
it the
friends,
one we know?
Supportive.
If we're friends, throw me, like, you can throw a bone and listen to one show or
I
watch
totally
one
agree.
Of my games. You don't have to do it all the time.
They all do it. They just don't tell you about it.
That's it. That's the frustrating part because
I know for sure two don't.
I have a buddy that listens. I know a lot. And when we first started, he was like, oh, I don't listen. I listen to Howard Stern. And then one day he comes in and he's like, I was listening to your show. And I go, I thought you listened to Howard Stern. He's like, well, it was boring me today. And then now every time I see him, he's like, oh, I've got a suggestion for the show. Or I heard this on the show. And I'm like, oh, so you listen then. The closet listeners are the worst. Just tell me you listen. It's not a big deal. I just say, yeah, I listen.
No, I know a bunch of jerks. So,
well, you know what?
All these things can be true.
What's that saying that you are who you hang out with or whatever? You are the company you keep.
My favorite one is you encourage what you allow. Yeah.
This is me putting my foot down right now because I'm about to send Venmo requests to all of them.
You know what?
I'm going to do that
you
today.
You should.
That's so petty.
And by the end of the show, let me know if anybody responded to that.
I should do it. I really should do it. I'll let you know what happens tomorrow. Okay. Back to the annual league meetings that are going on and the Falcons coach. Raheem Morris, he sat down with the media yesterday, and so he talked about the Desmond Ridder situation, and we know Desmond Ridder was traded away, right, to Arizona, but Morris had this to say, that Ridder did not initiate the trade. Take a listen.
when we talked about Dez and we talked about what his role could be, you know, him potentially being that young person that can play with us as well.
Right.
So we had a vision for him. But you field calls from people all the time about different people, about potential trades and those things. Desmond was a great kid and did not come to us and demand a trade. He did not come to us and do anything like that. He was in working out, doing the things he's supposed to do. The opportunity presented itself for him to get a new start. The opportunity presented for us to add speed to our room and do some things at our receivers part. With a guy that I just got finished playing against for the last 4 years that drove me nuts. 3 years, excuse me. But I thought some of those things were the factors. And I thought Desmond went out with class and he was there with class every day. And I had no intent on throwing shots at Dez when I said we need to improve the quarterback play. You know, I didn't want to come back and have to defend that. But, you know, it is what it is. We needed to play better or I wouldn't be sitting in the seat. I still stand by that. But it wasn't necessarily shots at Dez. It was necessarily shots at all of us. You know, it's things that has to be done. I think Dez played and shows great talent, shows the ability to do really good things. I think he'll move on and have a pretty good career with the Arizona Cardinals or whoever else he decides to play for. But I'm excited for him to get a fresh start. I'm excited for us to get a fresh start at wideout, get some speed in our room and develop some things. I think the trade married up well for both of us, and I think it fits well for us all.
It is interesting that he brought that up because my first reaction, you guys go back to the show, we went to the presser the day before, and we come on air the next morning, and I was like, I can't believe you don't ever hear coaches talk about the quarterback position with the heir apparent, both heir apparent starting quarterbacks still on the roster, like still under contract. I had that reaction. And I know that was not Raheem's attention, but it was so interesting, the conversations that he had obviously had with Terry and with Rich and with Arthur and everybody else involved, to hear him come out in his open and be like, we need to have better quarterback play. And then following that up, you know, not long after with, I wouldn't be here if we had better quarterback play in Atlanta last year. And all that stuff, you're like, this guy's still on the roster. Both these guys are still here. Like, what are we doing? And so I like that he cleaned that up, but I don't know if he needed to. Really?
Yeah, I'm sitting back thinking about it, and
Tiff, you're usually on the player side.
I usually am. I think that was a matter of fact. Like, yeah, when I come in here as your new coach, and if you're a fan, you support the team, you want to know what he's going to do differently. You want to hear those things from him, and so he talked about having better quarterback play. I don't take issue with that. Morris also. Actually, let's talk about Arthur Blank, Falcons owner. So we're talking about quarterback play here. Let's talk about the addition of Kirk Cousins. Arthur Blank talked about how they followed through on their commitment to improve quarterback play by bringing in Cousins.
Well, I think, you know, we were debating. I mean, we knew, and we said this immediately postseason, that a quarterback play had to get better coming into this current season. And there was a number of ways we could fill that, and still awesome combinations that we consider. But Kirk obviously has had an excellent career in the NFL, 12 years, two six-year runs with two very good franchises, and won a lot of games. And we thought, in terms of free agency, he was the best answer for us. I think that our general manager continued to work with folks at Minnesota and the agent, I should say. And for Kirk, and I think as we got down to the last couple of days, it became clear that it was going to be very competitive, and that you know, we wanted to have a positive solution for this issue, this problem that we had, this hole that we had. Without a playmaker in that position, it's hard to win in this league. It's tough to win under any circumstances, but particularly without, you know, a really qualified quarterback. And we think we got one in Kirk. And, you know, we made a big investment, but we're happy to do that. We're about championships, about winning. And that's our, you know, that's our responsibility to our fan base.
Coming up in Mic'd Up in the Wednesday wraparound, we got a couple of cuts from Kirk Cousins on Cold as Balls with Kevin Hart. And he talks about his tenure in Washington and in Minnesota and kind of why he's playing. So it's really interesting stuff. I want to make sure you guys listen. That'll be coming up in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, and that said, I mean, look, Arthur, I don't know what more I can really add to that very long cut that he talked about with Kirk Cousins, but they've said that they're trying to win now. I mean, that was their whole thing this offseason. They didn't want to develop a guy, not to mention it would have been hard to move up to get a guy when they were all the way down at 8. I mean, 8 doesn't seem that far away because it's a top 10 pick, but with a draft where 4 quarterbacks are expected to go within the first, you know, 6 picks, 5 picks, whatever, there and what the cost would have been. And Chicago is pretty much doubled and tripled and just down on the fact that Caleb Williams is their guy. I mean, the way the Ryan Poles and Eberflus are talking about, you know, pro days, giving him playbooks, letting him learn stuff. I mean, there was no way they were getting up to one of those other guys. So they're trying to win now. They're trying to – the time is running out. And that Arthur Blank, is that's the way I think he feels about where he's at his age-wise. He's not getting any younger, and he's trying to win a Super Bowl now. And they think Kirk Cousins sets him up to at least give an opportunity to make a run at one.
When we come back here on the morning shift, a former Falcon has now made his way to where his former coach is. Hint, hint. Take any guesses. And we'll see how the new league rule, when it comes to kickoff, could probably benefit that guy. We'll get into the discussion next year on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Don't touch that dial.
This is the morning shift.
All of them are really, really hot
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
With In the Huddle, brought to you by the Good Feet Store Premium Mart Supports. Learn more at goodfeet.com on the morning shift.
The annual league meetings have been going on for the NFL, and the owners passed a new hybrid rule at the meeting. So they approved it on Tuesday when it comes to the hybrid kickoff rule. And NFL Network insiders Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero reported, per their sources informed of the decision. The vote passed 29-3, and the NFL Competition Committee, Rich Chairman, that is what he told reporters. The move will dramatically alter the look and feel of the kickoff, a play that had become an afterthought as safety rules essentially wiped out incentives for a return. The pass kickoff rule features new alignments for both the kicking and receiving units. A landing zone, the area between the receiving team's goal line and its 20-yard line, would prompt action off the kickoff if the ball were to land in that sector. So the kickoff line will remain at the 35-yard line.
Yeah, they're going to line up 5 yards apart. It's funny because we were talking about this earlier. This is going to look really weird at first because the kicker is going to be all alone. But this is going to add such a new element. For one, the kickoff is going to be back unless guys unless this goes awry early and there's a bunch of returns that are big gains, and coaches then what they do. They make adjustments. But the thing that really sets out to me is the people we see on the field during kickoffs is going to drastically change, possibly. You could see a lot more tight ends. A lot more big physical receivers like a Drake London blocking, you know, like that could be something you see, and maybe even some athletic offensive linemen. But Ted Gwynn wrote a story. I said athletic offensive lineman.
Oh, dang.
Ted Gwynn wrote an article for The Athletic, and I thought it was perfect because this is the thing that really stuck out to me, talking about the traditional return specialists like a Ray McCloud of the team just signed. That's a traditional specialist, right? Speedy, shifty guy, can get in spaces.
Yeah, the Devin Hesters of the world.
Cordarrelle Patterson is not Devin Hester, though. He is more of he fits really, really into what the new one is which a physical, can hit a hole very quickly. You know, that physical burst that he has. He obviously just signed with Pittsburgh. We'll get to that here in a few minutes, but Saquon Barkley's, Debo Samuel's, Christian McCaffrey's, hey, Bijan Robinson's of the world could really be guys you see in certain situations where you need a big return to set you up for a drive, or you need a big play in a big game. But Mike, that's not all, because I think the onside kick is now changing, obviously, is what they said.
Surprise onside's going away. And that's one of the crazier things that kind of comes out of this whole ordeal is you have to let the officials know now when you were going to onside. So you can no longer do the surprise onside kick. They don't want the big collisions, and this is a way to do away with that, where now these guys will absolutely know that, hey, this onside is coming. So you won't see some of the more classic onside kicks we've seen. I mean, I know Bama against Clemson had one in 2015. I know the Indianapolis Colts Super Bowl.
Sean Payton made one of the most brilliant calls ever.
That's what I was going to say. When I had whichever Broncos game it was that I had, our guys in the booth have been joking off air about, oh, wouldn't it be Sean Payton to like start this game
exactly
with an onside kick? And then it actually happened.
Yeah.
I am for player safety, but the onside kick, I mean, you might as well do away with it. There's no, it's a surprise. What it's supposed to be.
They were trying to do the 4th-and-20 thing that you've seen from some of these spring leagues where, hey, if you want to onside it, we're just going to have a one-time play where we have to gain 20 yards. And that was what it seemed like some of them were trying to get pushed through, but it's not what happened. And just to piggyback on Bo's thoughts about this new kickoff return rule, what you're going to want to keep your eye on, guys, is when you are watching these players line up and they're all 5 yards apart from each other. All right, how many of those guys are folding? And I'm talking about on defense and on the return side, on the cover side and return side. How many of those are folding and going behind one another? Do you put a lineman to fold behind two other blockers and do a kickout block? And on defense, on the coverage team, do you end up folding safeties into the middle of the field and leaving some of these other blockers uncovered and trying to surprise? There's a whole, like, mirror mentality and a whole new structure that will go into this. You will see rule changes after year one. Because there's going to be a lot of ingenuity when it comes to this. And after year one, they're going to be like, all right, we need to clean that up a little bit. So it's going to be crazy.
I cannot wait to see the difference in personnel. That's the biggest thing to me, the difference in personnel. And it might be nothing. I might be overthinking this, but the difference in personnel, I think, could be a drastic change. And where there's going to be guys that, you know, I don't think they want to use certain players, but I could see a Chris Lindstrom or like a Drew Dahlman out there, guys that can kind of move and a little bit more, the athletic offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Second-level guy.
I think more than anything, I think you're going to see a 100% increase in special teams meeting time, right, where you would have normally, you know, Keith Armstrong would get 15 minutes a day with, the, you know, this group, and you would start that a little bit early. That now, game planning-wise, has got to go to 30. Like, you've got to understand their personnel and what their personnel is being asked to do. It's like creating a whole other defense. It's a third of the game, right? And you have to know the personnel and what they're trying to get accomplished. I think it's going to be really exciting. But, boy, those players, whoo, better have your head on a swivel.
Well, I imagine if you're facing the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're probably going to be trying to spend a lot of time trying to prepare defensively when they're going into their kickoff formation or when they're receiving. Because Cordarrelle Patterson is now up there with his former head coach in Arthur Smith. So Pittsburgh is expected to sign the veteran kick returner and offensive weapon to a 2-year, $6 million deal, according to NFL media. And, of course, we know he was a first-round pick in 2013. He's played for the Vikings, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Bears, and, of course, the Falcons. He has 9 career kickoff returns for a touchdown, an all-time record. And in 2021, you'll remember this well, he had 1,166 yards from scrimmage with 618 rushing and 548 receiving.
Yeah, I think he'll be used identical to how he was used last year. You're going to conserve what he's got. You don't need him to be. You got Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris, so you don't need him to carry the ball 20 times. But I think he could see maybe 10 to 15 carries if one of those guys is down.
What we were talking about was the kick return
stuff. Well, that's it. And that's primarily, Tiff, to your point, what he was used as last year. I mean, you go back last year, he was a kickoff returner, and he'd get about, 10 snaps, maybe 15 snaps offensively at the most. But this new kickoff, to your point, is perfect for him. I mean, it absolutely screams Cordarrelle Patterson to me.
I couldn't agree more, and I think the interesting thing is, guys, when you talk about offensive plays, right, you have your outside plays, your speed sweeps, but I'm talking about in the running game. You have your gap plays, and I'm talking about, like, power where you have a down block and a puller, you know, pull up in the hole or kick a guy out. And then you have your zone plays. And I see Cordarrelle Patterson very much running almost an outside zone version of a return to where he's catching it on, you know, just outside the left hash, but he's immediately breaking right Everybody that's blocking for him is pressing that outside shoulder. He's finding one gap. He's sticking his foot in the ground. He's putting his, you know, his face mask down, and he is getting as many yards as he can, and he's trying to burst through the hole. It's going to look very much when he's back there. I would think that's what I would do, that it's going to look like his own running play, where he's, hey, I'm going to take off right, stick my foot in the ground, get north and south, see if I can find a seam, burst through there, and then outrun everybody to the end zone.
Two quick things for you. Roger Goodell, the commissioner, he said that the Wednesday football will not be a regular thing, so they will not play on Christmas when it lands on December 25th on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Moving on now, the Bears GM, Ryan Poles, he had this to say when it came to RG3, basically insinuating that Caleb Williams should refuse to play for Chicago and do an Eli Manning a few years ago when he went through kind of the history of the organization and quarterback. So here's Poles' rebuttal to that.
It me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City. Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle, and we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
I love this. I love this answer from Ryan Poles, yeah, about RG3, because this is some of the things that RG3 says is spot on, and some of the things he says is just ridiculous. And this was ridiculous because this is something that I kept hearing. Well, the Bears are this, the Bears are that. Guys, Eberflus and Poles are new there, and they're trying to do everything they can. And I actually think they did get traction last year, late in the season. I thought they started playing better. There was some, for whatever reason, there was a disconnect. But, and I'm starting to kind of think this more and more between the coaching staff and Justin Fields and what they wanted from him and what he wanted to do or what he was doing or what they were doing. And I think that's, to me, that's what I heard when I heard Ryan. I heard a different cut from Ryan Poles this morning driving in when I was listening to Amy Lawrence on the way in, which you can hear before Dial Line comes on at 5 a.m. And it was, you know, basically like we thought it was best if we split ways, went separate routes, and we wanted to do the best by him. I think Ryan Poles is done a decent job. He's obviously done a good job with trades, but they're ready, and they believe in Caleb Williams already. I don't like this revision. Same thing when people say that about the Falcons. Oh, same old Falcons, 28-3. That's a whole different regime. Don't say that. It's a whole different regime. I don't want to hear how Thomas Dimitroff drafted.
Hey, I'm going to self-correct here. That's what I get for trying to keep us moving and trying to be the time cop here. But I'll go back to Roger Goodell. So the NFL previously said it will not play on Christmas when December 25th lands on a Tuesday or Wednesday. As of yesterday, that changed. The NFL will stage a doubleheader on Wednesday, December 25th. That is of this year. And Goodell said that the league will not play on Wednesdays on a regular basis. And he said it will be when Christmas falls on a Wednesday.
It's so funny, Tiffet. I remember this coming out last year where I think it was Hans Schroeder, who was like the VP of media for the NFL. He was the one tasked with saying, yeah, you know, I mean, Christmas is a big deal, but when it's on like a Wednesday, we won't play. This news breaks the last 24 hours. I'm like, you're a liar. You're a liar. And we're all involved in football games, guys. And so I just looked at that and thought, I hope none of the three of us are working on Christmas.
Well, I guarantee you that I'm going to be in Minnesota on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, because it's going to be a prime. Especially, I mean, just think about it. Like, it sets up Kirk Cousins' return, you know. I can just see being like that 4 p.m. game or whatever on Christmas Day. The other thing real quick is apparently they're going to do the Thursday night thing. So they're going to – that late in the year, Tiff, they can play on Saturdays at that point. I can see them playing Saturday and then having a team play Saturday, which will be us, and then we'll turn around and play Wednesday again. It'll be that Thursday night type model.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. What you got for my guy?
Oh, it's the Wednesday wraparound. I got Kirko Chains sitting with Kevin Hart in an ice tub talking about why he's still playing and what the plan was when Kyle Shanahan and company drafted him to Washington. I got some good cuts. You won't want to miss it. It's the Wednesday wraparound version of Mic'd Up coming up on the morning shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the morning shift.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's your favorite segment of the day. Got mic'd up, and maybe your favorite segment of the week. It's the Wednesday wraparound edition of Mic'd Up here on the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, Tiv hanging out with you. Get to some of the more off the beat out of Atlanta stories from around the country, the sporting world. All right, so one of the things I want to start with, guys, we talked about it at length last week and whether or not it was time for John Calipari to kind of move on from Kentucky basketball. It was confirmed yesterday, though, through their AD, Mitch Barnhart, that he tweets out, as we normally do at the end of every season, "Coach Calipari and I have had conversations about the direction of our men's basketball program, and I can confirm that he will return next season." Anybody want to take a guess on what number season it will be next year for John Calipari at Kentucky? Longer tenure than I ever thought it was when I was thinking about it.
Okay, anybody then know let's how many go years? 35. Well, if
no.
You thought it was longer.
No.
I'm just kidding. I know.
The 2008.
Was it Vince Scully?
They lost it. He lost at Memphis years. The 2008 national title. So yeah. His first year at Kentucky was, I think, 2009.
Great call. 16th year will be next year.
I said 15.
Year. 50, you said 35.
I did, but then I was joking, and then I said 15.
I remember that because I won my pool that year, my bracket. I had a perfect Final
Made
Four.
Money.
I had a perfect Final Four, and I had the title game in Memphis. I had Kansas beat Memphis, and Memphis blew it with Derrick Rose and company in the free throws.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Mario Chalmers with the big shot.
All right.
Give us a warning next time so we can turn our volume down.
Oakland's coach, I wonder if he's the longest, because he's been there forever.
Long time.
Yeah. 30-something years. Anyway,
there are certain coaches that just pull decades on decades on decades, and I just can't figure out how they do it. But 16 years was a long time, longer than I remembered for John Calipari. So he's holding together. In other coaches being retained news, yesterday Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie spoke to the media, and he talked about some of the conversations around retaining Nick Sirianni.
Very, very intensive process after every single season. This season was no different. Extremely disappointing ending to the season, the last 5-6 games. Extremely disappointing to me, very frustrating for all of us. But what we do is, and I insist on this, is there's no recency bias, there's no latency bias, there's no bias. Take a very hard look at exactly what the entire season looked at.
Yeah, so it's just funny because he's like, very disappointing. And then he's like, he gets off for a second. Then he goes back in. He's like, very, very disappointing to the end of the season. I'll say, if you guys remember, there's a point in time where the Eagles were 10-1. And not only do they go 0-6 to end the season, they get routed by the Buccaneers in the first round of the playoffs. And a lot of questions asked about that roster, about the chemistry, about what Nick Sirianni is. But evidently, Jeffrey Lurie was okay with what he heard out of Nick Sirianni's mouth about the direction of this team in this offense.
Well, he talked about how Sirianni likes to be innovative on the coordinator's side, and he thought he kind of did a good job searching those guys. Obviously, Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio taking over as their coordinators. It's interesting to me, though, is he was there 2 years, and I believe he had the same two coordinators his first 2 years. They both take head coaching jobs, and Steichen and Gannon, and they actually did an okay job their first year, especially with Steichen was the one that went to the Colts, right?
Yeah,
yes, he's the Colts head coach.
And so he did a really good job, I felt like. Get coordinators in there, but and he fired his defensive coordinator in the middle of the season, and
yeah.
Matt Patricia calling plays. I just thought it was interesting how they went through. I don't know. I think Sirianni is definitely coaching for his job this year, and I think he has to make it to at least a divisional round.
I don't think there's any doubt. And you thought there was questions about that roster and what was going on inside that locker room at the end of last year. Remove Jason Kelce from that situation, who is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And now I really have questions about what's going on in that locker room.
I don't. I think Jalen Hurts is one of the best people in the NFL today.
Agreed.
So
Fletcher,
I think he can lead.
Retiring too?
Yeah.
So,
Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
They did sign Landon Dickerson, the left guard, to a massive, massive deal. Highest paid guard in history. So
that's a really good point, Tiffany. Who takes over for Fletcher Cox as the leader of that? Brandon Graham is back, so maybe him. But who takes over as that leader? because you nailed it. Fletcher Cox was absolutely the leader of that defense. Yeah,
you're missing both guys on both sides of the ball. All right, real quick before we get to the Kirk Cousins stuff. An archaeological find, possibly, at North Wilkesboro Speedway.
I love this stuff. I used to collect dinosaur books.
Okay, well, this is not quite down that realm.
Well, kind of a dinosaur in some ways.
So, last year, if you guys remember, I took a Monday off of work. I went to North Wilkesboro Speedway. The first time they had hosted a NASCAR race in 35 years. Well, they're getting ready to do it again here in a month and a half, and I'm going to probably go again. So, yesterday, they're kind of prepping some of the seating and doing some other stuff. They take some seats out because they see a crack in the old bleachers, and it kind of caves in. And they have heard legends over the years that there was a moonshine still under the bleachers at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Turns out they might be right. There's like an open, cavernous room under there. They don't know how anybody would have gotten in and out, but you remember doing moonshine back in the day, North Wilkesboro, you know, 50s, 60s, hiding from the law, doing whatever you need to
do. How NASCAR was started.
Yeah. They're basically saying that this was, they think that this was what the legend is all about.
Well,
I was hoping you would say it was like a brontosaurus or something like that. Because
that's where they were, North Wilkesboro.
This is very fitting for maybe Triceratops. This is very fitting, though, for NASCAR.
Yeah,
well, the interesting part he left out is that they found hundreds of bottles they'll now be selling online at NorthWilkesboroSpeedway.com. It's kind of interesting.
That's
kind of cool. I actually already pre-ordered three.
It's a perfect kind of presser and primer for the All-Star Race being there in 6 weeks. So it kind of works out.
You know what they should do to the All-Star Race to make it fun? Like, you know how they have these events around the weekend, like in all the other sports?
Yeah.
They should put each driver should get, like, a 50s or 60s car, and they should have to carry – listen to me now. Dukes of Hazzard style, they should have to put a tray of moonshine or what would play the role of moonshine and drive around a whole, like, 100 laps, and the one with the most – least broken bottles is the winner.
All right, I want to get to this Kirk Cochains. He was on Cold as Balls with Kevin Hart. It dropped yesterday.
That's cool.
And one of the things I thought was really, really cool that he talked about, know what pulls at my heartstrings, he wanted to talk about why it is that he's still playing.
We're coming off the torn Achilles. Got a nice little scar right there.
Yeah.
Working through that. And next season will be year 13. I'll be 36 years old.
36 years old,
trying
man.
To play a few more years so my boys can remember me playing.
I absolutely love that, man. You got to think that when a guy – I'm about the same age as Kirk Cousins. I think I'm probably a year older than him as far as at least football goes. But I would have loved it if my kids could have seen me suited up. My son just getting to the point where he can throw a football. So I know that's got to be awesome for Kirk Cousins to get those kids down the field and actually remember their dad playing quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings or Atlanta Falcons or whatever it is. Also, he went on. The more intriguing story that came out of this, guys, he tells a story about his conversation. If you go back to Kyle Shanahan being the offensive coordinator in Washington, I think it was 2012 was the draft class, 2011 was the draft class. He talks about the fact that they took RG3 in the first round and then took him in the fourth. And the conversation he had with Kyle Shanahan, pretty interesting.
When I got drafted, Kyle Shanahan was our offensive coordinator. He called me after I got picked and he said, all right, so the plan is that you back up Robert, you'll play really well in preseason games, and in 2 to 3 years, we'll trade you. That's the best case scenario. Like, we basically drafted you to become a trade asset that we can get more picks for later.
Okay.
With the way things played out, I ended up playing well enough that I just stayed there.
Yeah, that worked out. I got 6 years in at Washington, then get 6 years in at Minnesota, and has gone on to be one of the most highly paid players in NFL history, all from that fourth round. Kyle Shanahan basically saying, look, best case scenario, we'll just – trade you here in a couple of years. That would be awesome. Maybe RG3 will be good.
Yeah.
Turns out it didn't happen.
The thing for me is that I believe all along that's who the coach and the offensive coordinator wanted was Kirk Cousins. I believe that the pick for RG3 was above their head. They traded a lot of draft picks that year, if you remember, to get up to RG3. And RG3 had a really great rookie season, and then John Weatherspoon ended it for him. But no, the knee injury and coming back from, look, RG3 did the heroic thing and tried to play, and it ended up costing him, and it's unfortunate. But he was able to get a career out of it too.
Yeah, he's doing all right, and obviously all over the televisions, which maybe Ryan Poles doesn't agree with some of the things he's saying. All right, so the last thing here, Amazon will be the home of the NFL Wild Card game this January. If you remember last year, I think it was Peacock did the streaming only playoff game. It was a massive point of contention with NFL fans. Well, it'll be on Amazon this year, and the NFL is entrusting Amazon to be their stream-only partner for that one playoff game coming up in January. So look out for that. I don't mind Amazon's
coverage.
They give
it Thursday Night Football, so why not a playoff game?
I'm a massive Kirk Herbstreit fan, and Kirk Herbstreit just kind of, you know, he fits into that as far as calling the NFL game. So I don't mind it. It is what it is at this point, guys. Just, hey, buckle up for it. It's coming.
Yeah,
streaming only is coming.
Herbstreit nugget. I had the Rose Bowl with him and Chris Fowler and Holly Rowe. And, you know, it was my first year at ESPN getting tossed. It was Ohio State and Utah.
Yep. That was when what's-his-name set the receiving record, like 200 yards.
Gosh. Jackson
and Jigba.
Yeah, Smith and Jigba.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, quick story, though. But, Herbstreit, we do these production calls, and usually the protocol is you let the play-by-play, you let the analyst go first. Reporter slips in and asks their questions because I can get players on the side of my own. Anyway, we're doing the call. I'm sitting here like, wow, I'm on a call with Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. This is crazy. And they're both like, no, you go ahead, jump in there.
Yeah.
Get your questions in. Okay. So could not have been more welcoming.
I met
so,
Kirk one time, and I had to do I had to speak on stage in front of an arena. And he kind of gave me a primer for it and a couple of tips. And then he came out from the green room to watch me do it and kind of cheered me on and gave me a thumbs up. The nicest dude you'll ever meet. Just awesome.
Really good dude.
Big fan.
When we come back here, it will be time for the wake-up call. Maybe you want to weigh in on Wraparound Wednesday or the Wednesday Wraparound. Or you want to talk about splitting the bills since my friends are some bums. We'll talk about that.
Old Craigslist friends.
Give us a shout-out, 404-726-0929. Wake-up call is next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99.3.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.